and I'm getting ready to go get Michelle Swinnick and bring her on. I know that she's got her ankles taped. She's ready to go. And let's go ahead and let's not waste any time. It's too critical right now. Michelle Swinnick, welcome to the Ohio Brett Show.
Ohio Brett, can you hear me loud and clear? Are we good?
We are good to go, Michelle.
Oh, awesome. Hey,
we are prepped up and ready to roll. The locker room is yours. You know what we do on the Ohio Brett Show. You have Ohio State Buckeye fans, Miami Hurricane, Toledo Rockets. We might even have some fans of that ugly looking maize and blue out of Ann Arbor. But we're ready to roll, Coach.
Oh, so funny. All right, so I just got off the phone with Daniel Woods. Now, you guys, I've been on the phone for 2 hours. I was prepping for the show. So this is the first time that I'm bringing forward any of this information. So bear with me. They might be a little bumpy, but I'll try to make it smooth. But so how much time do we have first?
We're good to go for a half hour.
Oh, awesome. All right. So I have lots of notes and I have lots of things to show. Did you get the documents that I sent you?
I do. And I can pull them up whenever you coach me up.
I love this. This is awesome. All right. So for those of you who watched the last time, we did a little constitution lesson. So we're going to do a quick refresher. But if you notice, I moved some things in the studio, right? The flag, I put it down because you already know it's upside down. You already got that. You already know I'm patriotic. I mean, look at my hat, right? But I added a whiteboard because sometimes this is a working show, right? This is where we are motivating the masses to get up their asses and we need people to work. You don't just get to sit back, especially nowadays. So that's there's some little notes I'm going to add on there, but I did want everyone to look at what I put up there. It says, now I know where the top is. So just look, it says God. This is the order of things, everybody. This is the order. God, people, laws, government, corporation. Okay. It's in that order. Notice how God is first, then it's people. And then all the other stuff, the poop, is underneath it. So we, the people, have all the power. All right, quick constitutional refresher. I like to use the Arizona Constitution. I encourage you to look up this section in your own Constitution because you need to know what it says. But all constitutions apply to all states, but I really like the way that they worded this. So this is Article 2, Declaration of Rights. Section 2, Political Power, Purpose of Government. We know the purpose of government is to destroy your life, but this is what it says. In the Constitution, all political power is inherent in the people. Doesn't say the administrators and legislators, it says the people. Okay. And governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed and are established to protect and maintain individual rights. The consent of the governed. Who is governed? We are not governed. We are free people. Our rights came from God. He gave us dominion over the land. That's why the machines are called dominion. It's the control of the land. The turds, the administrators, the legislators, they take their oath. They're giving their consent to be governed by who? We, the people. We hold all the power. We don't like to use the power. I don't know why. I think it's probably because a lot of us don't even know we have it. So with that being said, that is your foundation. All right. So Daniel Wood had filed that court case that we talked about the last time I was on this show. And it was asking constitutional questions. Basically, it proves that our elections are unconstitutional based on the Constitution, but they put it into a nice court case. The reason why it has made some momentum into the courts is because he filed it under common law, not administrative law, which is what they like to file everything. And they like to have all of the motions and they like to use that process because it takes away all the rights of the people. And if you look, common law is how you want to always file things. You file it in a judicial record of the courts, right? And I'm throwing the terms out. This is actually all new to me too. So we're all in this together, right? But it's really easy to learn because it's simple stuff. This is the basics. This is the foundation for your whole country. So they filed it. This was back in August, and it was the judicial court of record, which is common law. And the courts like to do everything administratively. Remember the Administrative Act is how they actually took a control of a lot of things. Administrative law, administrative courts, that's using statutes, and motions, and they call you a person, or they use the word parties. That's all administrative. You are people, okay? Person is not even, it's not a people. People is people. It's like a human being. Person's dead, right? It's all corporation stuff. All right, so here's what the most recent is. So that's been in the court system, and they keep responding to him with motions which don't apply. So they can disregard them. But what's interesting is because of how let me back this up. So the court case the defendants are the legislators in Arizona. Okay, there's 90 of them, but they're in the case. It's named with two, which is Ben Thoma, the Speaker of the House, and Warren Peterson, who is the President of the Senate. But it applies to all of the legislators, the turds, 90 of them that are here in Arizona, Democrat, Republican. We don't care about your party because you're both bad, right? You're both evil, both defy your oaths, violate them every single day, do nothing for we the people. So nobody is. They're all bad people. So do not give money to them and demand your money back.
They're both bad. Every single one of them. We can get involved in is how about not funding the evil?
No money.
That's right.
Do not give anyone money for a campaign. And if you did give money last year or 2 or 3 years ago, you asked for your money back because no one has done their job. They literally have violated their oaths. And according to what you're going to learn here in a minute, all of these people, they didn't even take the right oath. So you don't even have a functioning government because everybody that's in office all over the country is not eligible to be in office because nobody took the right oath. Okay. And this is everybody in the country. Okay. Everybody in government. So you really don't even have an operating government. Your government has actually been vacated. And we, the people, actually, if we come together, we could reform it and do it the right way because they don't, none of them have authority to be in an office right now. Because that's the subpoenas that just went out. So this is the court case. So what's interesting is, and I'll use that second part next. And I apologize if I'm making this confusing again. I'm just running this through the first time, so you guys are helping me iron out the kinks. All right. So this is the part where I told Danielle that people are gonna get the most pay attention to. So what they did last week was they filed subpoenas. Okay, they filed subpoenas, and they filed the subpoenas to all the people that were named in the lawsuit. And because it's the heads of the different departments, so it is Ben Thoma, who is the I just mentioned him, he's Speaker of the House, and Warren Peterson, and then all the legislators. So yes, you're Wendy Dodgers, who's my favorite liar, grifter, and fraudster, America First fraudster, and you've got your everyone else that's in the legislature and the administrators too. Now, administrators, you've got the executive branch. So Katie Hobbit, I called her Secretary of State, the Attorney General, the county recorder. There's a whole list of all the people that got subpoenas. So it goes to everybody that works underneath them. So it's literally the whole state. They all got a subpoena, right? So I want to make sure. Oh, and the Board of Supervisors, you know how I love them because they're the ones who certified and run our elections here in Arizona, in addition to the county recorders, the county recorder and the Clint Hickman, who's the chairman, and the judges. So the Supreme Court judge, who is the main judge, what's his name? Starts with a Brig. It's Brighton or Britain. So since he is the chief justice of the courts, all the judges receive the subpoena. It applies to every single one of them. Now the subpoena it's requesting their oath. So they have 5 days, 5 days to provide a copy of their oath that they took, signed, notarized copy, certified copy. Now, the great part is they can't produce this oath because the oath, if they did take an oath, which you probably heard that it was, I think it was Todd Callender, him and his crew had done the FOIA requests, and they found out that the entire cabinet in Washington, D.C., including Biden and the rest of the crew, their oaths are not on record. And they also took the wrong oaths anyway. Now, the first, the oath that actually is the one that matters, and it's listed in here too. It's in the very first session of Congress. Okay. This is back in like 1789, 1791. And when they met in New York, right? Because Philly wasn't the place where they used to meet. So the oath that they needed to take, it has to be exact. Okay. And this is, I'll read it to you here. This is from the first congressional hearing that they had, the meeting, very first one, when they were laying out how the states were going to work together and do commerce. So if you read through this whole thing, it's all about commerce. It's quite fascinating. And it's from the Library of Congress is where Daniel got it from, sent it to me. So it says the oath here has to be administered to the Senate and members of the House of Representatives. And this is the only oath that actually applies to the federal and the state people. Okay, so everybody in the federal government or the state government at any level was supposed to take this oath and only this oath. To whip means exact. Cannot be anything cannot be added or cannot be removed. I, AB, so I would state my name. I, Michelle Frances Swinnick, do solemnly swear to affirm, as the case may be. I'll go to the right one. When the case may be, that I will support the Constitution of the United States. That's it. Okay. The fact that it's been added to since then makes it null and void. I know it sounds so simple and crazy, but that's the Constitution. This is how it works. That's what the rules are. Again, they violated everything. So if you're thinking everything has to be so complex, it's very not. It's very, very simple. The founding fathers created all this system very simply. They've made it complicated, and then they never taught us any of this stuff. And that's why you don't learn any of these things in school, because they want to keep it far away from you. They don't want you to know this. They don't want you to know, again, all the power is in we the people. So something as simple as the subpoenas that went out, they have tomorrow is the fifth day. So they have 5 days. They have the fifth day. So after tomorrow, they're going to give them a couple extra days, because they're trying to work with them, right? They're not bad guys. The ones that filed this, the court case. No. They're trying to work, but they know that they don't have them, because the last time that they've tracked back anybody that took this specific oath was like in the 1930s. So they know that they can't provide it. So they're going to come up extra days. Now you're saying, Michelle, well, what about recourse? Okay, here's the fun part. Now, PY, no one's ever done this before, because no one's ever read the rules. No one's ever done the research to just hold people accountable. Again, remember, we talked about this last time too. It's all about holding the turds accountable, and it's very simple to do. And we, the people, can do it. And that doesn't cost any money to hold them accountable. You just got to spend a little time, a little sweat equity, right? So if they don't return these, which none of them will, because none of them have it, then Daniel can file a certain document with the clerk of the court. And then the court can then go ahead and order the sheriffs to arrest these people, because they have violated the subpoena. And you're saying, well, there's no way that's going to happen. Well, if it doesn't happen, then the clerk is in contempt of court himself. So the court now, so he's got to make the decision. Do I want to be in contempt of court and not do this? Or am I going to follow what the law is? So it'd be interesting. So they're throwing things into this court cases and filing documents afterwards, since this thing was originally filed in August, to basically see if the courts are following the law, and they're not. They keep trying to bring it back into administrative law. Then that doesn't apply to this court case, because they filed it the correct way. So with that being said, there's some more, but I know you're itching for a question or a statement here, because you're picking up what I'm putting down, the power of this, yeah. Right, Ohio Brad?
Hey, well, when you got a great coach on a roll, the players just listen. Keep going.
All right. Well, what I want everyone to realize is, because of the responses of the attorney that's representing the turds, the Arizona Legislature turds, right, the two that were named, but all 90 are included in this. He's been always filing things in the administrative court, trying to pull it back into the administrative court. And Daniel's smart, because he read the Constitution. He studied this. He's been putting it together for 3 years. So he pushes back basically. And it's like, no, we don't have to follow these things, because it's like speaking two different languages. Like they're speaking legalese, and everything with the common law is just pure English, pure, simple English. Don't make it complicated. And that's what they're trying to do, right? So what's interesting, in the most recent filing that Daniel put, he put in a writ of prohibition. Basically, what that is to cease and desist all of your administrative acts. So if you look on the court filings, they didn't write writ of prohibition. They actually wrote this statement, and this says a lot, okay? And it says basically, instead of writing that was the document that filled in, I'm going to pull it up because he sent it me today. It says, it is in all cap letters too. It says, to principal is notice to agent, and notice to agent is notice to principal, which means that basically this is to all people in that work for the government. And in that, it was that writ of prohibition, which was cease and desist all of your administrative actions. So the fact that they did that, as opposed to just saying there was a writ, because that's what everything else was listed as, because you'll see the document categories, that's a big deal. And then Daniel got a communication from the attorney asking permission. Have you ever heard of an attorney or anyone in the courts asking permission from the other side to file something? That's not how it works.
No way.
He's asking permission because he knows that Daniel and the plaintiffs in this case are commanding the courts, because we the people are actually above the courts. So because of how they filed it, they're classified in a different like respect level and category because they're in control. Okay. They're in control of what has to be done. So the fact that the attorney asked permission, and then he said, Michelle, now think about this. Now, if what we had filed in the court case and the writs that were filed afterwards, because instead of motions, you're using writs, it's two different styles. So you're going to be in lane A, you're going to be in lane B. You in team Jesus or you in team doesn't really matter, right? That's just okay. How it works, right? So you pick a lane. So when he's filing these writs, if the judge didn't know the power of the way that this case was brought together and filed, he'd throw it out. Because the judges, what judge puts up with anything? They love to reprimand, right? This doesn't matter if it's on TV or if it's in for a ticket for a violation for on your bicycle to a court for any court. Like if they're saying, oh, this is the waste of the court's time or your lawsuit's meaningless, right? They're always yelling at the people that are in the courtroom, whether it's the attorneys or the plaintiffs, the defendant, nothing. There's been no pushback from the judges. As a matter of fact, the first judge recused himself. Okay. So the first judge is like, I don't want to touch this. I mean, I know what this is. This is what they told us to be aware of, you know, like in the movies. Like I think it was in Back to the Future too, when he comes out and he's the old Biff and he comes and he sees the young Biff and he's like, all right, in about 20 years, there's going to be a kid that shows up. You know, he's like, basically, you got to take him out because he's got all the info. So this is what they probably warned him in law school. All right, because now you're part of the system, guys. At some point, somebody's going to figure out. And now when this particular language or this document shows up and it comes across your desk as a judge, you get the hell out of Dodge because you don't want to have anything to do with it. And you pass that buck to somebody else. So the judges was recused himself, and then there was another judge assigned, and then there was another judge assigned after that. So there's already been three judges assigned to this case, and it just was filed originally in August. So it's less than 2 months, and people are already passing the hot potato because they know what this really means. Okay.
That's right.
So
what
and
disaster,
again,
Michelle. And
no, but a disaster so good thankful. For the people.
That's right.
It's good for the people. So now you've got, and you know, obviously this can be done in other states too, but we keep doing these things in Arizona. And all we're doing is we're asking people to get on board with us, whether it's sharing the information or clicking some buttons like for our campaigns and in order to just basically hold these legislatures, the administrators, I call them the church for short, accountable. For not doing their jobs, because at the end of the day, as I said earlier, what I mentioned was that since the government has actually been vacated, okay, it's just an illusion right now of these people in office, because they don't have any power to be there. They have no authority because they have not taken the oath, which is what allows them to exist in that office. So we actually can now go in and reform the government. And put our own people in if we wanted to actually just have our own election. And remember, the elections are unconstitutional because not only do you have machines, you have third parties involved. Their ballots are counted in secret. Corporations are involved with the custody, which just dismantles it right there with the machines and the programs. And elections are supposed to be one day. Those are just the ones that I always mention just to grab everybody's attention. So all your elections across the whole country are already unconstitutional. And the people that are running them and the people that are in office are just there because it's like a dollar. A dollar is not worth anything because we're allowing it to be worth something because somebody said so, but if it's really not worth anything, it's a piece of paper. It's actually debt, right? So same thing with these people in office. They have no authorization to be there. So they're only there because we haven't realized that they have no business being in office because they never took an oath, right? So we could say, oh, well, that's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. And the only reason why we're really knowing it's not okay is because they're such POSs and SOBs and they do nothing to help we the people. Now, because then we are started paying attention. We started reading the rules, started reading their own rules. We started reading statutes, started reading the Constitution. And that's when people are like, well, then we need to get rid of you. And then we said, okay, well, you used to think you could vote them out. You can't vote them out. Again, the entire election system is fundamentally designed to control the outcomes. You're not a part of the system. You're not a part of the outcomes. You don't get to determine the outcomes. That's already predetermined. Like today, right now, you have 148 days until we will not be able to take back this country. Why, you ask? Because you have your first state elections that are going to be done, the primaries. And if you think that you're going to be able to stop a runaway train when those, when you have five, I think there's five of them, right? There's five. Where was I? I wrote it down. I don't even know. I've got stuff all over the place. I don't know where I put it on. That's actually Super Tuesday. The California's in there. Alabama is a bunch of other ones. So if you're going to have election machines run on those, it's going to be real hard to ban those voting machines. Remember, that's what we were doing here in Arizona. We're asking for the whole country to get behind us to demand that the voting machines are banned. It's going to be hard to stop that runaway chain. That's in 148 days, which is going to be right around the corner because we're going through holiday season, kicking in, and then all of a sudden, boom, you look and you're like, oh my God, it's already February. So with all that togetherness, right? So just think that, I just want people to realize how important this court case is. And again, these things that we're doing in Arizona apply to everybody's life in the whole country, everybody. Because the decisions that are being that on here, like when this court case is probably going to have to go to the Supreme Court. But I want to mention that too. Well, what I learned yesterday, okay, this is all new to me too, guys. So don't think that I know all this stuff. I got 2 hours of information from Daniel today. And I really only started to understand this when he was starting to explain it back in May. So this is all new, but now that we can all fast track because we all need to get on board with this. So we were saying that, you know, it's probably going to end up in, it's going to have to go to the Supreme Court, which is fine, right? It's what everybody, we don't want everyone to understand what's going on in the first place on the way there. Well, I found out yesterday that grand juries that are made up of citizens actually are above, yes, I said the word above, the Supreme Court of the United States. I said, wait, time, whoa.
That's a timeout right there, Coach. Yeah. Explain that one to me.
Okay, so let me give you the gist of the grand juries. I want you to pop up. Now, grand juries, what you've probably heard, they can indict a ham sandwich, okay? Now, the grand juries is what people know more about because Trump has had a lot of grand juries indict him, right? And they issue subpoenas. So I didn't know this until when I did the show with Bill Ogden from Tactical Civics. The grand jury, okay? The grand jury is the one that has all the power. The prosecutor has no power whatsoever. He'll convene the grand jury, but the grand jury is the one that issues the subpoenas, the one that can basically do whatever they want. Whatever they want. So the prosecutor is asking him to do that. I thought it was the other way around. No, see, everything is just the opposite. They screwed us so bad. All these years, that's all they seem to do. And then they're still doing it. So just like an example in Trump's case, all of the people that are, that's the writ of subpoena. These are the subpoenas that went out. That's the first, so you could see what the format is. And I didn't do the other pages, but I read you guys what the oath is. So pop up the, which one I want you to do first? Pop up the Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment, I think it's 27 or 26. It says the Fifth Amendment. I want to read the Fifth Amendment because this is the power of the grand jury. Okay. My mind has been blown when these boys tell me on this, Jim. So in Trump's situation, those grand jurors could actually have said, no, we don't want to issue a subpoena for Trump. We're going to issue it for you, the prosecutor, because you need to get arrested because you are committing crimes. And that's exactly what could happen because the people have the power, right? Because they are the grand jury. They do. And the grand jury, again, the grand jury is above the Supreme Court because we put the people in. We created the Supreme Court. We created the Constitution. We can change these things. We've already had the structure. We just don't even know we have the power. So this is the Fifth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. Presentment is done if it is a grand jury that was convened by the people. An indictment is if a grand jury was convened, brought together by the prosecutor. Notice how presentment is before indictment. What this is when words matter in the Constitution, placement matters in the Constitution, and it matters if there's like a comma or if there's a semicolon, it changes the meaning. So when the fact that presentment is first, it gives more weight to actually the people being convened rather than the prosecutor. All right. So except in cases arising in land or naval forces, blah, 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 blah. Nor shall any person or subject be the same difference, put in jeopardy, life or limb. So this is where they actually give the power right there to the grand jury, right? So the grand jury. Now, grand jury is just a bunch of people that were selected. And now pull up the other one that I sent you. Now, the grand jury, they have basically twisted it so that the grand jury, they want you to think the grand jury is all about the prosecutor, and the prosecutor brings him, he presents the evidence. And then they usually always side with the prosecutor because they're told to, basically. They're told to, and they're swayed that direction. I mean, just watch a bunch of Law and Orders, and you could see it right there. But they are basically instructed and influenced to just follow with whatever the prosecutor brings because the other side doesn't get the opportunity to bring anything forward. So that they usually just go ahead and go along with whatever the prosecutor said. They don't know that they have the power to do anything that needs to get done. Like I said, they can go ahead and issue the subpoenas for the prosecutor. They don't have to go with what the prosecutor says, but they don't know that that's their role. The power of the grand jury is substantial. So the evil people in our government, the evil people that are in all these think tanks and these pearl clutchers and these scholars and all these really smart people that are totally against you and me, what they did is in 1944, they made a note, okay? A note is like me writing on a piece of paper. It just, that's it. There's no changes to the Constitution. No laws have been passed, nothing. So, but they always hang their hat on this because there's been a couple times that I've seen this pop up from different people. So they all reference this because this is what the scholars have decided. So the scholars have decided that the notes of the Advisory Committee of Rules on 1944, and all this stuff comes, they all reference Cornell University. So I don't know what Cornell and law of Cornell School is, but for some reason, that's their Bible, right? Number four. So this is how they are discrediting grand juries. So presentment is not included as an additional type of formal accusation, since presentments are a method of instituting prosecutions are obsolete, or at least as concerns as the federal courts. None of that's true, okay? Notice how it's presentment, because this is, no, they're talking about the Fifth Amendment. Remember I said presentments are done by a citizen grand jury, the grand jury called by the citizens, which is we the people, rather than an indictment, which is the same thing, except if it's by a prosecutor. So right here, they're trying to throw presentments and the citizen grand jury is under the bus by saying, oh, it's obsolete. No, nothing's obsolete. They just don't want you to do it. So they all reference this. You'll hear them. If anyone starts talking about it, they'll reference this rule. So then that way they can make you think, oh, no, it's obsolete. You can't do that. No, you can do it. They don't want you to do it because once they know that we know the power that we have, all hell's going to break loose, especially now. So again, this is the time, everybody. This is the time to lace up those shoes, get those cleats on, wrap those ankles, and get you and do some stretching, because we need everybody on, and I'm going to upgrade it from the playing field to the battlefield. I need all the warriors on the battlefield and everybody that wants to become one, because here's what we're also going to do in Arizona. And I know that I got to wrap this up soon, right? We got like 5 minutes.
Yep.
So in Arizona, I just talked about the grand juries, the power of the grand juries. Now, Tactical Civics is a group that I'm working with, and they teach about the grand juries. They teach about the Constitution, right? They teach about a bunch of other different things, but they've done the research, right? They've gone through a bunch of stuff, and they estimate that they've come up with a number. They need a half of 1% of a county, because this all goes back to the county. Again, I'm here in Mayor Corruption County, Anarchy, Arizona. And they go back to the counties. Everything comes out of the counties. All evil lurks in the counties, right? So one half of 1% of the people, if they convene, come together, and then they can go to the board of supervisors in the county and request an ordinance be put on paper, which is, they're just writing stuff and approving it. It's not like it's a lot. It's not moving mountains, people. If they request a grand jury and it gets put on the ordinance, then now you have a grand jury. So it's one half of 1% is what's required for a county. So when I was first talking to him, I said, Maricopa, there's no way. There's like 4.5 million people. One half of 1%. It was like 25,000. I'm like, we need a different county. Do a different county. Cochise County. Guess how many, Brett? How many people we need in Cochise County? Which is down by where? The border. Those people not happy. And those people were all over the election stuff because they were going to do a hand count. Mark Elias came in and threw all those lawsuits. And so did KB Hobbit, said she was going to put him in jail if they did a hand count. Really, it's unconstitutional not to do a hand count. Guess how many people we need in Cochise County, Arizona, in order to convene a citizen grand jury?
Tell us, Coach.
628. Okay. So six. Now that's a number I can work with. Okay. So 628 people. If we can get them all to say, yes, we want to do a grand jury, with, you know, there's a template paperwork. You know, do what you got to do. We go down and we tell the county, the board of supervisors, we want to convene a grand jury. And if they say no, which they just need more of us to be there, we say, well, we are the government. You didn't even take the right oath. You actually don't even belong here. So we want to have a grand jury. Now you have a citizen's grand jury. Again, what did I say about the citizen grand jury? It's above the Supreme Court. So it's citizen grand jury, Supreme Court. Now you actually have the ability to go enforce and bring forward those presentments, which is equal to an indictment for all the evil crimes that we know that go on every single day here in Arizona, not only in the whole country. And actually have like, you could have a trial. You could do the same things they're doing to Trump, but you do it to the people that are actually committing the real crimes. And you know that I investigated the November 8th election here in Arizona and the laundry list of people that I could put together to bring in and to bring in presentments, which is the indictments, with the actual evidence that I can prove in the court of law, because I can't go to the other courts of law because of how the law works. So you have all the evidence. I have all the dead bodies, but yet I won't be able to move forward with it, right? But if we had a citizen grand jury, I could do it as soon as we get that convened. So now we're at the point, and I think you've talked about this on your show, and I know that you talk about it when you go across the country. You can't rely on a candidate, a politician. You can't even rely on the law in order to get anything done for justice, because you've already seen that doesn't work. And it's a lawless society. So this is how we, the people, take our power back. Okay. It's a lot of other stuff's theory. That's great. This is tangible. This is real. This is happening now. So here's the call to action. The call to action is two. Again, you go see savemyfreedom.us, savemyfreedom.us. You're going to go there. You're going to subscribe. Okay. Now, once you click on it, the take action toolkit that I just put together. It talks about why Arizona is the most demonic, evil, destructive, and powerful state in the whole country. Because all of the stuff from the Great Reset that you heard about, the 5G smart cities, which we were the first state to pass the bill to start the 5G smart cities. Didn't know that. Just found that out. I mean, it is just mind-blowing what comes out of this state, okay? So Michael Crow, there he is. He is the ASU president, Arizona State University. And the ASU stuff's everywhere. Gee, I wonder why, because that's where all the money comes in. He's also the chair of InQtel, which is the CIA, yes, Central Intelligence Agencies. That is their, he's the chairman. Now the CIA's InQtel is their money, I'm chirping, is their venture capital version or venture capital company. So that's where the money comes from. And it's basically, there's been even, you could see the connection because big tech, where it got its start, was from InQtel, which is the CIA, which now kind of makes sense, right? So I put that toolkit together. So I encourage you to read that. There's a video interview that Alex Newman did with a friend of ours, Kristen Williamson, and it lays it all out. I mean, all of this stuff comes from Arizona. It's the bioweapons and the mRNA technology. I mean, I did a long paragraph of all the stuff that's listed. And that's why this state is so important, that we need to stop the evil, but we can do that, but we need the help of everybody in the country, because there's not enough of us here that are active in Arizona, just like every state. So let's just say that there's 1% in every state that's active. And it's not even that, it's like 0.5%. So we're going to need like 30 states to get more people to make an impact, because if there's only 100 people that are clicking on our email campaigns in order to send the emails to the 215 turds in Arizona. It includes all the people that got subpoenas and then even more. And there's only, say, 1,000 people that are doing it a day. It's not enough, because if I'm a demon and there's only 1,000 people that are telling me that I suck, I don't care, right? It's not enough because I'm already a demon. I'm like, I already know I suck, but not enough of you are saying that I suck. So whatever, I'm not going to listen to you, because that's what the Board of Supervisors does when we go down to the meetings, because not enough people are there at the meetings. Like, now, if 10,000 people were telling me I suck because I get 10,000 emails today, I'm going to start paying attention, because now there's people from other states. And you guys keep telling me I suck on social media, so I keep seeing my name, and now my name's trending. Then they take notice, because they are weak, pathetic, insecure people. So again, it's about holding them accountable. And you should do this in your own state. But since we've got the momentum here, we've got all of these things happening in Arizona, right? Because, and all you do is hear about all this stuff in Arizona. So I'm just asking the country to get on board. When you go to savemyfreedom.us, I want you to read that toolkit. There's all other toolkits in there, all different categories, about the elections, about child sex slave trafficking, all kinds of stuff. I do all the time. I'm going to do a couple more this week. If you look at the top button on the left-hand side, because the headers have 6 different websites in there, it says ban the machines. You're going to click on that. You're going to go to there once a day. There's three steps. There's 4 clicks. Daniel's court case is there. I'm going to upload the rest of his documents so you can see the subpoenas. I want you to read that court case. It's not legal mumbo jumbo. It's in English. And it gives all the information about why the elections are unconstitutional. Then there's the remonstrance in there that you're going to do the one click, and you're going to sign it, right? Because he's going to use those in court as evidence. And it also gives you all the talking points, and it goes to show that it expresses the grievances of we the people and why the elections are unconstitutional. Then the one click email all the people in Arizona, and it's for the first 2 campaigns that we're doing. And I want you to read this stuff, because it gives you the information. You're going to become so smart real quick, and it'll get you pissed off. You're going to become smart, extra smart, and you're going to be really pissed off. And that's what I need you to be pissed. So you're not only you're demanding that the machines be banned in Arizona. And then the second one is to demand an investigation into the elections, the corruption and the fraud here in Arizona, which I already did. So that's the best part. We want them to do it. We know they're not going to do it, but it would be great if thousands and tens of thousands of people a day are demanding it. It takes less than 2 minutes to do. And then when I come in and I say, I already did it. And then it's not going to end well for any of these people.
It's
right?
Not going to end well. And that's what great coach does, Michelle. I guarantee you. 30 minutes is never enough for Michelle Swinnick. Never enough.
You did a great job.
And I'm so thankful that you shared your time and you were available to come into the locker room on the Ohio Brett Show. Michelle Swinnick, I appreciate you so much. I know you and I got some major projects that we're working on together. Yeah. You're doing such a great job in Arizona and beyond. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, my friend. And everybody, savemyfreedom.us, go there once, and then you're going to click on these things once a day, but hold them accountable. Join us. Twitter, that's where it's at. So it's
we'll have you on soon, Michelle. And everybody, go to savemyfreedom.us. God bless you, Michelle. Thanks for coming on the Ohio Brett Show for God and Country and Sports. Friends, that's what we do in the locker room. We use the sports background to bring truth tellers in the locker room. Center left and center right are uniting like never before, all race, color, and creed. And from that great state of Washington is up next, because Michelle Swinnick is definitely taking care of Arizona and everything she's doing. She's an absolute superstar. And I'm
machines are too vulnerable.
Her research has repeatedly demonstrated that ballot recording machines and other voting systems are susceptible to tampering.
Even hackers with limited prior knowledge, tools, and resources are able to breach voting machines in a matter of minutes.
In 2018, electronic voting machines in Georgia and Texas deleted votes for certain candidates or switched votes from one candidate to another.
The biggest seller of voting machines is doing something that violates Cybersecurity 101, directing that you install remote access software, which would make a machine like that, you know, a magnet for fraudsters and hackers.
These voting machines can be hacked quite easily.
You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, 3 companies are controlling this.
It is the individual voting machines that pose some of the greatest risks.
There are a lot of states that are dealing with antiquated machines. right, which are vulnerable to being hacked.
Workers were able to easily hack into an electronic voting machine. It was possible to switch votes.
43% of American voters use voting machines that researchers have found have serious security flaws, including back doors.
We know how vulnerable now our systems were. I know the hackathon that took place last year where virtually every machine was broken into.
There are fascists active in this country. Jenna just listed off who they are. She politely calls them election deniers. I'm supposed to call them election enthusiasts as an official position of my office, but I personally prefer just calling them what they are. They are fascists.
Thank you.